Well, open your Bibles here tonight to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20 is where we find ourselves this evening. And verse 29 is where we pick up our reading tonight. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves, savage wolves, enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word here tonight, thank you for it. Father, what a rich treasure we have in your word. And Father, your word is our lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, your word is truth, and we are people of the truth. So, Lord, help us here tonight as we study your word. May the Holy Spirit teach and guide us into all righteousness as the Spirit of God dwells in our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate your word to our hearts tonight. So bless us. Help me honor your son, your word, and may you receive the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, a lot of us, our attentions were drawn to the Capitol and the hearings and the election, electors and everything that happened. But I'd like to read something. I'd like to go back a little bit. We know what happened today, but I'd like to look at something that happened in 1774 to set perspective here. And this is Reverend Jacob and D-U-C-H-E. How would you pronounce that? Looks like French to me. Duché? Is that how you'd say it? Jacob Duché? He was pastor of the Christ Church in Philadelphia. He prayed the first prayer in the Continental Congress. And typically, a lot what they would do in those days, this is a very Puritan tradition. Puritans, they wrote down everything. Their sermons were all written down. And that's why we got such a rich heritage of Puritan sermons. They wrote their sermons out. When Jonathan Edwards preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he read that thing because he wrote it down word for word. And that's how we have a copy of it today, because he wrote out his sermon. This prayer of the Continental Congress, Jacob Duché wrote his prayer down. Now, I want you to read this, and I want you to catch the heart of his heart for America and how he saw it and how our founding fathers who in the Continental Congress drew up our Constitution. I was going to read this to you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of kings and Lord of lords, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers on earth, and reignest power supreme and uncontrolled over all the kingdoms, empires, and government. Look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on these American states who have fled to thee. Now, I just want to stop and make a comment right there. Who have fled to thee. Today, how would you say America is? Are they fleeing to God or away from God?
Fleeing away.
Fleeing away. Can you see how, as I read this, I want you to see how in 1774 how it was, and how here in the year 2021, on January 6th, how America, instead of fleeing to America, they fled from America. Okay. Who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressors and have thrown themselves on thy gracious protection. Who was the world power at that time?
Great Britain.
Great Britain. That's like somebody going up against the United States, okay? That's what they faced, okay? On thy gracious protection, desiring to henceforth depend only on thee, to thee have they appealed for the righteousness of their cause. To thee do they now look upon for that countenance and support which thou alone can give. What was their focus? Were they trusting their armies? Were they trusting their wisdom, their guns, their might? No, they were trusting God. To them, therefore, Heavenly Father, under thy nurturing care, give them wisdom and counsel. Now, wisdom and counsel. These men, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, there was a struggle. I mean, they had one person wanted this, another one wanted this. They didn't know what to do. They came and fasted and prayed, and they put that document out there. You know, America has the longest constitutional document of any nation on earth. It has endured the time
And I think because the reason is they ask God for wisdom and counsel. And then also valor in the field. Defeat the malicious design of our cruel adversaries. Now, this is 1774. Some of these words and how he puts them together is not how we talk today, but it's good thoughts there. Convince them of their unrighteousness of their cause, and if they persist in their purposes, of their own unerring justice sounding in their hearts, constrain them to drop the weapons of war from their unnerved hands in the day of battle. Now, paraphrase that. No, when they go to battle, let their guns drop. Now, America had so many astounding victories. George Washington, when he was fleeing the British, the fog just happened to roll in, covered all of his troops. He got them all to safety, and the fog lifted, and the British were like, where'd he go? We had him trapped. You know, those kind of things that God did for us. The prayer goes on. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsel of this honorable assembly, the Continental Congress, enable them to settle things on the best and surest foundation. What was that foundation they settled on? It was the word of what? The word of God is what they settled on. That the scenes of blood may be speedily closed, that order, harmony, peace may be effectively restored, truth and justice, religion, piety prevail and flourish among the people. Preserve the health of their bodies and the vigors of their minds, showering down on them and the millions they represent such temporal blessings as thou seest expedient for them in this world, and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior. Amen. Not a woman. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you hear that little comment here recently? Okay. That's how our nation started. Now, that's 1770. Where are we at today? You know, we've got people praying before our leaders that don't know the difference between a man and a woman. Do you know what I'm saying? So ignorant. It has nothing to do with gender. Nothing. But those are the religious leaders that are chosen to pray before our leaders, and they don't know even the basics of how to pray, how to even close a prayer in prayer. How did we get there? Well, tonight, I was thinking about this and this, and I want to read something here. Look at verse 29 of Acts 20. Paul saying this, the Ephesian elders, they're leading the church in Ephesus. They're the ones that God's raised up. They're to take heed, verse 28, over the flock. And Paul says, verse 29, for I know this. And he kind of like he says, guys, I want to tell you something. I know this is what's going to happen. That after my departing shall savage, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the what? The flock. Now, what's the nature of a wolf? What's the nature of a wolf? A wolf will see. Now, back up, for the nature of a wolf, how much defenses does a lamb have? Do they have big horns? How about sharp teeth? How about, what kind of defense? Now, a skunk, what's its defense? Yeah, a skunk has a defense. Yeah, its odor. I mean, animals run from a skunk. But a lamb is helpless. And you know what wolves do? They don't care. They'll attack the most helpless and unprotected thing they can just to satisfy themselves. Know this, that after my departing shall savage wolves enter among, not sparing the flock. And you know what's happened to our nation? So many people have entered in, not sparing our nation. They're destroying it. And that's an external threat. People that enter in, okay, you got the body of believers, Paul's warning them. You need to be on a watch out for those wolves. Now, Jesus said something about wolves. Turn here to Matthew chapter 7. He talks about wolves here in a little different way. Excuse me, Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets. Somebody that's not true, that doesn't speak for God, speaks for themselves, speaks for Satan, speaks for the kingdom of darkness. They're not true men of God. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, these wolves come in, They sound good. They can look good. But their heart's not right with God. Because they don't speak the truth. They speak of their own hearts. Come to you in sheep's clothing. Deception. That's total deception. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Now, what if somebody to get elected says, I will do this and this and this for our nation. I will balance a budget amendment. I will do this. I will do this. And deep in their hearts, they're not doing any of that. They say, once I get elected, I'm going to do what I want to do. Would that be a false leader? You know what I'm saying? Do we see that? That is bad. But what's even worse, when they're in the church, in the pulpit, and they say such things that are false doctrines, they don't affirm the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, they don't affirm the deity of Christ, they don't affirm the virgin birth of Christ, they don't affirm the inerrancy of Scripture, they don't affirm all these doctrines that make a Christian. They're false prophets. And you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You know, how do people live? Because their talk and their walk need to match up. If they say they're a man of God, guess what? They have to live like a man of God. And if they're not living like a man of God, then somehow they're not a true man of God. Well, Paul says back over here, he says, for I know that, verse 29 of Acts 20, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. They're satisfying their own cravings at the expense of the flock of God, tearing them up. Verse 30, also of your own selves, and that's 29's external threat. Verse 30 is internal, okay, even within. Your own, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things, bad doctrine, things that are not true, to draw away disciples after them, to get a following, just to draw away people. Tell them what they want to hear, and just to draw away people. And that is so bad. You know, there's been people in the Christian community. I remember Johnny Erickson Tata went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. Johnny Erickson Tata was, of course, crippled in a wheelchair. But Catherine Kuhlman said, you come to my meeting, God can heal you. Dangling that out in front of people like God's going to heal. You know what happened to Johnny Erickson Tata? She went to the meeting in a wheelchair, and guess what? She came home in a wheelchair. All of her hopes, and that's what false prophets do. They'll dangle something out that just, you're hoping for something. They're false prophets. They don't speak for God. They don't speak God's word right. Speaking perverse things, they draw away disciples after them. What's the answer in verse 31? Okay, we got an external threat. We got an internal threat. Therefore what?
Watch.
When does a wolf like to come? When you're not what? Watching. Therefore, watch. We've got to be on the alert. Therefore, watch and remember. Now, that watching, we've got to be vigilant. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do what? Nothing. We need to watch. And I think a lot has gone under the bridge in America. And people were not paying attention to what was happening. And some were. I'm not saying some weren't. But so much has changed in our nation that I don't know. How do you ever steer the ship back on course? How do you get it back on course? I don't know. Because if laws don't mean laws and constitutions don't mean what they say, and you make your own rules as you go along, you're going to have anarchy. But for God's people, we need to be watching and knowing the Scriptures and how God wants us to live. Well, Paul says, watch and remember. Now, look at my life. He said that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. How he lived, he was the real deal. He cared deeply about people. He cared about their eternal destiny. He cared about how they live their life today. He was concerned how he lived because it matters. Look in Philippians chapter 3 here for a minute. Philippians chapter 3. The Christian life is difficult. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Are there hardships? Absolutely. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says these words, "Brethren, be followers together of me." That's a tall statement for Paul to make. Be followers together of me. In other words, he's saying, if I've lived, I want you to live. My example. But then this is the watching part. Mark them. Okay, you're going to mark something? That means you've examined it. You've determined it. Mark them that which walk, so ye have us for an example. We're observing, we're watching, we're paying attention, the people that follow God. Verse 18, the opposite side, for many walk, okay, the opposite of what verse 17 is, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are the what of the cross of Christ? Enemies. They do God's people no favors. They do the kingdom of God no favors. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. And righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. And when sin abounds everywhere and lawlessness, you have anarchy and just mayhem that we see across our nation. But they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, why did Paul go weeping when he said here, and he said, I cease not to warn everyone night and days with tears in verse 31. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. Whose end is destruction. Does it concern you that these enemies of Christ are going to hell? It concerns me. I don't want to see any man go to hell. Today, we got some new appliances down in the kitchen and the delivery guy, and I saw him come talking to him. When we came in church, he got a track off that table, went downstairs and gave him a track and just said, you know, this tells you how you can know God, be saved from your sins, where you're going to spend heaven at. Because I knew that if he's unsaved, he's in his destruction. That's where he's going to go. And I want to get the word to him. Whose God is their belly? Those unsaved people, their fleshly appetites drives them, everything they do, the sensual. Whose glory is in their shame. You ever heard of a gay pride march? Their glory is in their shame. That is so shameful, but they glory in it. Who mind earthly things. For our manner of life, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus coming back again? He can't come soon enough on days like this. Do you know what I'm saying? He can't come soon enough. And that's where we're looking. Yes, we can be discouraged, but our manner of life is in heaven, and we look for the Savior. That's what we're going to do, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're back over in Acts here. That was Paul's heart. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, as he was with the Ephesian believers, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What do we need to do? And now, brethren, verse 32 gives us the answer. I commend you to God. That's where it all starts. What did in 1774, the first prayer of the they committed our nation to God. They wanted God's blessing in all over our nation. I commend you to God. That's where it starts. And when you push God out of the picture, you invite the devil in. And Apostle Paul, he knew the grievous wolves are coming in, the false prophets are coming in. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. In other words, you're going to inherit the kingdom of God among all them that are sanctified. That's where it all starts, word of God. You know, when people used to swear in the Bible, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth. And when our Congress says, you don't have to swear in the Bible now. What kind of statement's that making? They're just pushing God, right out of the picture. Well, you see what's happening in our nation. American exceptionalism was because of God was in our nation. You take God out, America's not going to be exceptional anymore. And beware of the wolves, they're out there. Beware of the false prophets, they're out there. Verse 31, watch. Therefore, watch. Well, let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as God's people, we see what's happening around us, Lord. And we know the reason for it. It's not political parties. It's immoral, ungodly people that are our leaders. And Father, we need godly men to rule our nation. And I pray that the hearts of people would crave for righteousness, God. So, Lord, help us toward this end. And Lord, send revival to America. We need it so desperately, God. So, Lord, help us and guide us. And may the Spirit of the living God do what only can do in each of our hearts and in our nation. And I pray for peace in our land. And I pray for righteousness in our land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.